You're listening to AmericasWebRadio.com, the pioneer and leader in chat radio. Thank you for listening.
Good morning, and welcome to Medicine on Call. This morning, I want to try to tackle a topic that is out there in plain sight if people are on the Internet, but the mainstream media seem to have completely missed this. Or if you want to be, have any kind of thinking about how the media is trying to thwart knowledge and truth out there, they may actually be suppressing this. This is back to school time, and I've been doing interviews with various radio stations on how parents can keep their kids safe. And we're talking about washing their hands and making sure that they sleep appropriately, that they have excellent nutrition. But there's another time, this time of year, where there's a push towards vaccines. And it's become, I would say, really mercenary. A lot of pediatricians have actually discharged parents and children from their practices because the parents don't want to get their child vaccinated for a certain shot, or they want to push it back so that it's not done at the time frame that the CDC says should be given. And it's become a medical-industrial complex that used to be very soft, but now is becoming very rigid and very authoritarian. And this is my opinion. Obamacare is going to add to this inability of parents to be able to take care of their children with knowledge. Listen, I'm not against vaccines. I mean, it makes it sound like anybody who has a question about a vaccine, they demonize the person, make them sound like some sort of kook or nut, or they want their children to die, or they somehow want society to be affected by people with communicable diseases. And it's all designed to shut people up. Now, there's something going on with the CDC. I've had questions about the CDC for a while now, but a lot of things have been coming out from the accidents in the lab with anthrax and smallpox and people, whistleblowers being removed. And there's a story out there now that I think every parent, every American should know about. And it's about the measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine. It's called the MMR. And it's one of the shots one of the basic shots that children get, usually around age 2. And there's been a cover-up. There's a whistleblower that came out, Dr. Thompson, who worked for the CDC for the last 10 years, has been actively involved in covering up the fact that the MMR vaccine has been linked to autism. And everybody says, if you read online even, they say unequivocally that shots cannot cause, MMR shots cannot cause autism. Well, there's a story out there, and there's a letter written by this doctor to Dr. Gebberding, who was the head of the CDC at the time that this study was put out there by the CDC. And this study said that children who take the MMR vaccine there's no link to autism. When in actuality, what had happened was children, they separated out by race, and that's how the study initially was designed. They ran the study within black children, white children, Latino children, and it was found that among black boys, specifically, there was a 3.4 increased risk of autism if they got the MMR shot, which was statistically significant. And what they did with the study is they changed numbers, and that's why I question, and everybody should, all statistics that come out of these research articles that they tout on TV, because you can change the results based on how you ask the question and how you put in your database. In other words, if you take people out of your study, you can make a study that is statistically significant become not significant, and that's what they did. So they found that this could be a finding that was alarming and that should have changed the recommendations of the CDC, of pediatricians, especially to black mothers and fathers, about when and if their children should get the MMR vaccine. And instead of doing that, they just removed a certain number of black children from the studies, stating that they couldn't be used because they didn't have a birth certificate, which is ridiculous. So they took enough kids out of the study to make it not significant, and then they published it. And this is a complete fraud and cover-up, and this gentleman finally came. He couldn't take it anymore and came out and whistleblew. And he wrote his letters have been released. If you go to naturalnews.com, you can read his letters to the CDC chairman or the head. And the fact that they were completely ignored is obvious. And recently, the CDC came out and admitted that they had changed the numbers and that the study was altered, and race was no longer considered a factor arbitrarily after the fact in order to get the answer that they wanted. So now we have if you think about this, over the past 10 years, how many hundreds of thousands of children have been immunized for MMR, black children specifically, and boys in particular, who've possibly been injured by the vaccine and have now autistic tendencies or traits or straight autism? And how does that affect society? You might have children who end up in special ed, children who can no longer be productive members of society, children who are warehoused in prison. I mean, we're talking about eugenics on a huge scale if you really want to go there. And I would submit to anybody who thinks that this is okay. As soon as they test it out in one population, it comes for everybody else. That happens in Ferguson. It happens everywhere. I mean, I remember stories when I was a kid, a lot of, you know, police violence against black people in New York, and it never happened to white people. Now you're seeing people on the internet getting, you know, tased, beaten up, women stopped, and the traffic stops, where it's just pervaded society because we stood by and we were silent when one group of people who were voiceless were abused. And this is not a joke here. We're talking about changing somebody's whole life, a family's whole life, based on a shot that they know is unsafe. And the study went on to say, I said, if you give them the shot, if you wait, I mean, if you give them after 36 weeks, the risk drops dramatically. So all they would have to do, if they really wanted to be decent, is to push the shot regimen back a few months so they're not getting it before the age of 34 weeks. Does that make sense? I mean, I was speechless when I read this, I have to say. And just the fact that this is, just willful. And the doctors who wrote this study are now heading departments in the CDC. No one was fired. The only person who got let go was the whistleblower recently. And this is how science seems to be working now. I remember when I had to do scientific studies. If it didn't work, I mean, you were devastated, but you had to write up what you found in your study. If it didn't work and your hypothesis wasn't proven, then that was it. These people, if it doesn't fit, then you just change it until it fits what you want. And this is now how science is practiced throughout the pharmaceutical industry. And the CDC is in hand in hand with the pharmaceutical industry. Let's just go a step further. The person who headed the CDC at the time the study was written actually now works for Merck, who was the pharmaceutical manufacturer of the MMR, or is, I should say, the pharmaceutical manufacturer of the MMR vaccine. How much of a conflict of interest is that? I mean, nobody's held accountable, no criminal charges are brought, and they know. And now it's proven, and they're just denying it. Now they're supposed to go to Congress, and now there's been another whistleblower saying that they're trying to cherry-pick what articles they bring up to Congress to try to make themselves look like they didn't do anything wrong. I mean, this is just outrageous. And nothing from the mainstream media. I mean, can you believe this stuff, Dave?
Yeah, I certainly can. And during the break, I'm going to send you a URL to go to. The cover-up, media cover-up, and the cover-up by government agencies is just beyond belief. I don't want to change the subject, and I don't want to get off of the CDC and the vaccines, but are you aware of the name of Dylan Taylor?
Mm-mm, no.
It's very interesting. On August the 11th, he is a he was a white, part white, part Hispanic, shot in Utah, coming out of a 7-Eleven by a black cop. And nobody's...
I think I read something. Yeah.
Pardon me?
I think I read a headline like that, but I haven't read the article.
And it's just amazing. And we face a bad problem when the media won't fess up and tell the truth. And it should be the media across the board telling the truth about the CDC and everything else.
I absolutely agree. I mean, you wonder, are they there to control us, or are they there to give us information? And, you know, I've said this before on the show. Are they really able to tell you the truth when they're sponsored by drug manufacturers? If you watch the evening news, a majority of the commercials are being sponsored by various, brand-name drug manufacturers. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, there's no autonomy. I love the fact, thank God I'm able to have my show. Nobody sponsors me. I sponsor myself. I say what I want, when I want, and I'm not afraid to say it. And that's the problem with mainstream media. All of these corporate interests are pouring money into this. I mean, we have to really think about everything that comes out of the mainstream media, out of newspapers, and now it's getting to the point out of doctors' mouths, out of, you know, the CDC. The thing, it's designed to protect us. That's one of the mission statements. I mean, I don't trust it at this point. They're playing fast and loose with dangerous organisms. They are putting patients and Americans at risk, transporting people into the country with a deadly communicable disease. They have played fast and loose with the truth when it comes down to patient safety, all for money. I mean, I understand the CDC buys about $4 billion. I can't remember the amount of money, but every year they literally purchase vaccines from the drug manufacturers in order to give it to the public health centers throughout the country. So there's a fiduciary connection between them and the drug manufacturers. This is a conflict of interest.
Absolutely.
And there's nobody overseeing them. This is the same thing with EPA, with all of these alphabet, departments in the government, where there's no oversight. There is conflict of interest. There's cronyism run amok. There are special interest groups that work against what they say they do. I mean, this is an ingrained and endemic problem. This is just one example, but just the fact that. I mean, this is not new. People say, oh, the government loves me. They'll never hurt me. Hmm. Ask the people from Tuskegee how that works for them. Or the people in Central America that they tested, I think, syphilis vaccine on, or gave them syphilis. I'm sorry, that's a different, I think it was gonorrhea. I can't remember which STD it was. But this is a government, they do this thing to people. They try things on us. They don't tell us what they're doing. And then there's no accountability. And one of the main things that people need to be aware of is that they're immune from prosecution. And I know we have to take a break in a minute, but we're going to talk about how this all came to pass. This isn't just out of the blue. They're doing this because there's no consequence. And the Supreme Court in 2011 actually ruled that they couldn't be sued. Like, there was immunity for whatever happens if someone gets hurt by a vaccine. And when they did that, it was an explosion. Every time you turn around, they have a new vaccine on the market. And I would touch it with a 10-foot pole.
With that, let's let that soak in for folks. And we'll be back right after this with Dr. George and Medicine on Call.
Come on. Follow Sniffles to Atlanta's go-to center for breathing easy. Do you suffer from chronic sinus headaches, recurrent sinusitis, facial pain or pressure, and chronic congestion? Well, balloon sinuplasty just could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com. We treat the problem, not the symptom. Chronic sinus symptoms, gone. This could be the cure you're looking for.
Follow me and breathe easy.
This proven in-office procedure can have you breathing easy, back to work the next day, and it's done under local anesthesia. Get lasting relief, a quick recovery, and start breathing easy again.
Follow me and breathe easy.
FollowSniffles.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know skipping doses of medication can be dangerous? If you have a chronic medical condition like diabetes or high blood pressure, it's important to take the medication prescribed by your physician. It is also important to remember that although you take a medicine to treat a condition, it is not a cure for the underlying medical condition. It is used to control it. For example, taking medication for diabetes will lower your blood sugar. However, if you stop taking the medication, the sugar will rise again. Changes in both diet and lifestyle, like adding exercise to your routine, are equally important. Working with your physician by following his or her recommendations is the key to controlling your disease and maintaining your health. Ask questions if you don't understand something. Taking control of your health is the key to wellness. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. You know, in the break we were talking about how the Internet has become such a powerful tool. And don't take what I say. Look it up for yourself. Go to naturalnews.com. There are the actual letters that this Dr. Thompson wrote to the head of the CDC, two of them. And they both are, that's your proof. I mean, it talks about how that the study was not done correctly, that there was changing of the numbers in order to make the study do say what everybody wanted it to say. And the truth is hard to listen to. I understand that. I was shocked when I heard it. But we now have to take responsibility for ourselves. I mean, this is about personal responsibility now. I don't think that anybody can say to themselves, I didn't know, so woe is me, I'm a victim. You don't know because you choose not to know at this point. And anybody who's as a child and is listening to the show or is a grandparent, is a grandchild, I think you need to take a look at this article, naturalnews.com. Go read it and do your own due diligence. But if you have a child right now, especially if you're a black parent in this country, I think you need to take a chance, or you need to make sure that you go to your pediatrician and stand up for your child. God forbid something happens to them. I mean, this is it's an authoritarian medical system where they do things now and they don't tell you. If you walk into the hospital now and you end up in an ICU, or I don't care, if you end up hospitalized, they will actually give you vaccines and not tell you. You know, it's part of their protocol to give you pneumococcal vaccine. I guess the main one that they give. But just imagine, you're already sick. You're already immune compromised. You may be in the ICU and you're getting a vaccination you didn't have consent to, your family members didn't know about. And the same thing happens when the child is born. They not only take their child's blood and send their DNA into a database that you don't even know about, which they keep in some states forever, so they can have your whole child's genetic profile in a federal database to be used for God knows what. And it becomes the property of the government, by the way. You cannot get your child's DNA information back. You lost control of what makes you you. What is it going to be used for? And they claim it's being used for, you know, things like take the cord blood and use for, the DNA profile to figure out diseases, or maybe you might be able to use it down the road if you get a disease. I'm not so sure about that unless you do that privately. But there's so many things happening without our consent. And because we don't pay attention, they're wrapping it up. I mean, if you don't hold them to the fire for the first thing they do, they just keep pushing the bar further and further out. Now, I read yesterday, for example, the president is going to, on his own, enact the UN climate change rules, which, by definition, he does not have constitutional authority to do. Only Congress can ratify treaties. And the UN does not run the United States, but all of a sudden, we seem to be under the UN umbrella. Whatever they say, we do. If they say go to war, we do it. If they say, you know, put troops here, we do it. You know, they're running our healthcare system with the ICD-10, which we talked about back, a couple years ago now, it seems, where the ICD-10 is the socialized medicine communication system for what the doctor does to a patient. So it is standardized across all industrialized countries. And basically what it does is it puts people on the grid. They know there's no more privacy where you go to a doctor and they do something to you and you take the prescription and go home. If they have an electronic medical record system in their office, it goes to them, to the IRS, to the Homeland Security, to HHS, and from that point, as soon as it hits HHS, I'm sure it's hitting the World Health Organization database, and there you go. You're part of the global system that they can track you. They can do metadata on what your eating habits are, and as soon as they have control of everything, then they get to decide who lives and who dies, what your habits should be if you want to get coverage, or if you were a bad girl or boy and you smoked and you overate and you didn't exercise, well, tough. Now you're not going to get this medication or this procedure because you're not viable because of what you did.
Dr. George?
Where it's going. Yeah.
Do you think, you go to your grocery store or a local grocery store and you buy 10 boxes of Twinkies and you flash your card so you get your 1% discount or 2% mm-hmm. discount. Do you think this also goes into the same database of what you're buying and what you're eating, and they can come back and say, well, you're 200 pounds overweight because you eat 10 Twinkies a day?
I think that the people who are on any kind of public assistance, they're the first group that definitely they know everything that you buy. And once we say that it's okay for them, then they're going to start tracking what we do. And they know. As soon as you that barcode and your savings card, apparently you're never supposed to be using these things. You know, they have these discount cards.
Mm-hmm.
They track everything you do on those, yes. But they're not using it against you yet. They're just collecting data. I miss my question is, what are you going to do with it? I think everybody should ask that question. It's not just benign. You know, nobody ever looks at it. We're just sifting through it. It goes into a hole. They know. The question is, what are they going to do about it? And I think as long as we continue to be distracted, just think about the distraction of the society. It's incredible. You have people coming back into the country from college, people on vacation, people who worked abroad from Ebola-stricken countries, who are putting everybody, including themselves, at risk. But our focus is on the ice water challenge. I mean, really? I mean, it's all these things that just make absolutely no sense. You have a story out there about children being put at risk for autism. The autism rate is all off the charts, by the way. I mean, I was in medical school. It was like 1 in 500. Rarely it happened. Now it's like, I think it's 1 in 50.
Wow.
Something's going on, and it's the last 10 years. And what's the difference in the last 10 years? Vaccines out of control, you know?
And, what people don't look at and until it affects their pocket and they go to the gas station and it's $75 to fill up instead of $50 or whatever. But that fact alone, 1 in 50, that's costing every taxpayer a lot of money.
Exactly. And in every way possible, in lost productivity, and people who don't engage with society and let the government do what they want because nobody's watching the store, in, you know, personal safety, in, you know, just family, just being able to love your child and have them love you back in a way that's fulfilling. I mean, in every aspect, spiritually, it is depleting our society. For what? For somebody's bottom line and profit? I mean, vaccines have now been... It's legend almost now that vaccines do the same thing that you getting the disease will do. They're better almost. It's not better. I had the mumps, I had the measles, I had the chicken pox growing up. I will never get the mumps and measles again. But the people who got the MMR shot, some of the people coming back are the illegal immigrants coming to the country. They infected people who actually got, and it's been documented, who actually had the MMR shot. How much protection do these guys have? And now there's another study that's been out, that's out there about the Gardasil shot, the HPV vaccine, which has been around for, I guess, about 5-6 years now, maybe a little bit longer. Now we're seeing an explosion in HPV-related cancer, in the head and neck, for example. We never saw that when I was a resident. Jeez, it's like 15 years ago. Now you have to check every cancer specimen for HPV, and a lot of them are coming back positive. And these shots don't really protect you. I mean, there's hundreds of different strains. They only cover about 4 of the strains in these, in the Gardasil shot, and only 2 in the other version of the HPV shot. So you're not even getting full coverage for if this, you know, for the virus that causes cancer. So it's really a money-making venture, but it's not full protection. And is it putting your immune system at risk of dropping your surveillance so that you become more susceptible to getting the cancer? I mean, this doesn't make a lot of sense. But every time a doctor speaks up, every time a citizen has a question, they get demonized, they get shouted down, they get removed. And in some cases, and I've heard of this, some parents have been picked up by, you know, children going to DFACs because their parents have been, you know, turned in by the pediatrician who, for some reason, is either they don't read or they just are complicit in this. I don't understand how the pediatricians are not having any say-so. I mean, they're part of this grid, and they've taken this to heart where they're becoming the overseers and the policemen for making sure people get vaccinated. It doesn't matter if the kid has a fever or a seizure after. That's just normal. And I understand that some pediatricians aren't even documenting this. You're supposed to send any bad outcome into a database so that it can be listed and it can be documented that, hey, this is a problem with the vaccine. If you say, oh, we had a fever of 104, no big deal, and that doesn't enter the database, it makes the vaccine seem safer than it actually is. And I'm sorry, anybody who sits by and doesn't say stuff and knows something bad is going on, yet they just go along, get along because they need a check, or they need to be, you know, loved by their patients, then they're complicit and they're just as guilty as the manufacturer doing these things to us. When are people going to have a backbone? I mean, is it always about money, or can you just be ethical and moral for once?
Where is HIPAA in all of this?
Please, HIPAA what? HIPAA only applies to doctors. It doesn't apply to the government. It doesn't apply to anybody else, just to doctors. So,
yeah, but yet, you know, if you go by HIPAA, you don't release the information, but yet the government now is forcing you to release patient information if you have the electronic medical system, correct?
Absolutely. So whatever you said goes into the FBI, HHS, Homeland Security, that's not HIPAA. They know exactly what medicines you take, what your diagnosis is, and your social history, how many people you sleep with, your drug-using habits. They know all of that. The question is, what are they going to do with it? Because HIPAA doesn't apply to that.
Well, I think, you know, actually, we have to take a break. We'll be back with Dr. George and Medicine on Call right after this.
For years, Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center has been providing outstanding care to patients of all ages. They are dedicated to patient satisfaction and have been the recipient of the Georgia Otolaryngology Association Patient Satisfaction Award. They welcome any questions you may have about their services. Their practice includes treatment of asthma, allergies, sleep apnea, snoring, hearing impairments, and chronic sinus disease. Dr. Elena George is a board-certified ear, nose, and throat surgeon. Her training in New York has included training at Manhattan Eye, Ear, and Throat Hospital and Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center. She believes in practicing both the art and science of medicine. All patients are seen by Dr. George. All treatment options are discussed, and time will be spent to answer all questions. Their office is located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road in Suite 260 North Tower, 2 blocks south of Piedmont Hospital. They are open Monday through Friday, 8:30 a.m. until 4 p.m. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, you can be confident that you are in good hands with their professional team.
Don't be hoodwinked by the left, who wants you to believe the fairy tale that we can power America on butterflies, rainbows, and pixie dust. I'm Marita Noon. Get the truth about energy on my show, America's Voice for Energy, only on America's Web Radio.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that dizziness may be a sign of heart disease, iron deficiency, high or low blood pressure, low blood sugar, or an inner ear infection? Dizziness can take the form of a spinning sensation, also known as vertigo, or a feeling of lightheadedness. The individual can also feel faint or have a rapid heartbeat. If you take high blood pressure medication, remember to take the medication daily as directed to control your blood pressure. Diabetics must remember to eat after taking their medication and to eat at regular intervals. If you have anemia, make sure to take a multivitamin that contains iron and to eat vegetables such as spinach. Dizziness after a cold or flu may be due to a virus. If you have dizziness, it is important to see your doctor for a complete physical examination. Please join me Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is America's Webradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I think, you know, it's up to us, honestly, to start making changes in how we approach what's going on in society. It's like we're in 1984. We're in Brave New World. I mean, you need to read these books again because they're doing what these books said they were going to do. It's doublespeak. It's lying in your face and saying you didn't see that. You know, what happened was, I mean, it's just incredible. And I understand it's hard psychologically to wrap your mind around the fact that you have to fight uphill to stay healthy, that you have forces that are working against your health, against your freedom, against your ability just to live your life. It's a bunch of control freaks. And on the healthcare side of this, this has become, and I've said it before, either you practice medicine with your Hippocratic Oath in mind as your foundation, or you fall in line with this global, eugenics-based, it's a death system. It's not about health anymore. It's about control. And the best way to win this is not to get sick. The second best way to win this is to make a plan to have actually to pick doctors, pick health systems, alternative health systems, which are not going to play this game. They exist. So you can go to any state, I think, at this point. You can look up independent physicians who are not, you know, paid by the hospitals, not on staff in terms of being employees of hospitals. I think the first step that people can make is to stay out of that system, because the doctors in that system do not have control of healthcare delivery. It's all about algorithms. When somebody walks into a hospital, Dr. Amerling was on our show about a few months back, and he said, you know, as soon as a person walks in the hospital, they do a protocol. It's a standard protocol. Doesn't matter if it applies to the patient, but that's how the mindset is. It's the most expensive thing you can do. First thing you're going to do is get a vaccine. Then you get put on an antibiotic to fight MRSA or MRSA, whether or not you need it. You get a blood culture, whether or not you need it. I mean, all these things are going just no thought process at all, just done to you. And if this is such a great system, why is the infection rate so high in the hospitals? I mean, the explosion of resistant organisms in the hospitals, it's just crazy. It used to be just maybe 1 or 2%. It's much larger than that now. I mean, you're lucky to come out of a hospital without some sort of hospital-acquired infection. That's what it's gotten to. So if all these protocols are so great, why are people sicker? Why do people have a higher risk of getting a communicable disease, or I should say least infected, in a hospital setting? If vaccines are so great, why are children getting mumps and measles, or especially measles, in particular, even after they've gotten the shot? Why is the autism rate so high? Well, just ask yourself these questions. Do you really have to give an infant at the time of birth all of these vaccines for things that they don't even need. Why does a child need hepatitis B vaccine? They're not part of a high-risk group. I can see as a healthcare professional, especially a surgeon, if you're involved with blood and blood product from the chance of getting stuck is pretty high, that's appropriate. But giving these children all these vaccines, I mean, I took, I think, one as a child, smallpox. That's it. And the studies are showing now that children in developed countries have a higher risk of asthma, and they get infected and ear infections much more frequently than they do in developed countries because they actually have their immune system get exposed to things, and it works. They don't have asthma at the rate that we do in children in undeveloped countries. Why? We'd have antibiotics constantly given. Our immune systems are under attack with what we shoot into us and also what we eat, and we're sicker. Where the cancer rate's gone nuts. The autism rate has gone nuts. We're losing the ability to stay healthy and to actually fight whatever it is off ourselves. Something's wrong with this picture, but because there's so many moving parts and there's so much money that's poured in that's designed to shut people up and hide the truth, I don't think that we're getting the full story. I think as patients and doctors, until we step back, and I'm really happy that I have patients who come to my practice who want to partner with me and who don't want to take medication, who want to get to the root of the problem and fix it. That's the kind of practice I have, thank God. And that's the kind of practice that people need to look for, because that's how you stay off of 1,000 different drugs, where you're taking a medication for the side effect of the other medication, yet you're still sick as, you know, sicker than when you came in, and or you have someone who's a junior member of the healthcare staff who doesn't know as much and has never been trained to look for every single differential. It's just what they look in their little, you know, iPad or their little application, and if it doesn't fit, they don't know what to treat. I mean, this is not medicine. As long as we sit back and say it's okay, they will continue to do the same thing to all of us. And this goes back to everybody in this country. I don't care whether you're black, white, green. Personal responsibility now is how you save your family, how you save yourself. That's the moral of the story.
You know, I just had a thought that we ought to start spreading this around. We both know a lot of doctors that are like you, that are thinking out of the box. The AAPA
patient care.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And American Association of Physicians and Surgeons. Mm-hmm. You know what we ought to do? We ought to start a campaign with the doctors that when you walk in a doctor's office. And it could be in the examining room. It could also be prominent in the office, in the lobby. When you walk in, you should see a big, big framed sign that says, "Ask me."
Mm-hmm.
And if your doctor doesn't have that posted on the wall every place, then he or she is not doing. You need to find somebody else. Because the doctors that you and I associate with, they want their patients to ask them. You want your patients to be involved and ask you questions. And that could be a very simple judge for a patient of whether he wants to continue to go to that doctor or not.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's about providing knowledge. And, you know, there's this, when you don't know things, then you are going to be driven by fear. That's what happens. That's why this system is thriving, because it thrives on fear. And as soon as people have a fear of something, they shut down, or they want someone to take over and take responsibility for it because they feel disempowered. That's where you get into trouble, because the people who are running the system want you to be disempowered. They want you to say, just pat you on the head and take your vaccine and eat your GMO and shut up. I mean, but you're killing yourself, and you are shortening your lifespan. And the system is so cruel and ghoulish that when you do enter it, they're going to say, well, you've lived a good life, you know, we're costing everybody too much money, and it's time to pull the plug. It's hospice time. I actually coined this phrase. I mean, I think Obamacare is a one-way ticket to a hospice. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. And if that's what you want, That's what you'll get. And I'm really, I'm all about personal, you know, freedom of choice. So if you want that system, have at it. Good luck to you. But I'm not going to be in that system. And I'm proud to say that I will never take an Obamacare insurance because I have no interest in working against the interests of my patient. And the people who are in it now are figuring out, I'm paying this, but nothing's covered. And so I'm paying every month, but these services are being denied. The medications aren't covered. I can't see the doctor that I want to see. And I have to wait forever to see the doctor. What's the point of that? You know, if you think outside the box, there is a way to do things that are more cost-effective. You get better care. This is the reality now. There's a two-tier system that's already in place. If you pay for what you get, if you pay for time of service, you will actually spend less and get better quality care than if you try to access your insurance. That's the truth. We talked about, when you were off air, about North Atlanta Urgent Care or Highland Urgent Care, two urgent care centers in Atlanta, and they have some branches outside of Atlanta. North Atlanta Urgent Care does. A flat fee of $135 to seen by ER, board-certified ER physician, not physician assistants, not family practice doctors, not nurse practitioners, nobody moonlighting. These are the guys who trained in ER medicine who can actually take care of the problem and not have to refer to their iPod or their iPhone or whatever people use nowadays, but actually know what they're doing. And because they cut out the middleman, they can keep the prices low. And it's a flat fee. If you need blood work, you need x-rays, it's all covered for $135. Try walking into an ER near you and find out how much that costs just to walk in the door. I mean, look, this system is so crazy now that every major medical center and every major city now has these major medical centers who put other small community hospitals out of business, either by buying them, by making them part of their system, or basically making them close. And now you have these call centers. This is the situation now that's set up, where if I'm in an outlying hospital, I'm in a rural center, I have a small community hospital, I don't have an ENT or GYN or trauma service, I get to call an operator based in this main hospital. And that operator will send all the information to the doctors on that hospital staff, whoever's on call, and they have to take responsibility for someone else's mistake, nightmare, or they don't know what the hell they're doing, and then they all get transferred into this main center. But if you walk into that community outreach center, you get charged for that ER visit, by the way. They didn't do anything except call a main hospital and transfer you, but it's a double bill because they get to charge for you coming into their ER. Imagine, does that even make sense to you, Dave? If you didn't treat me, if you didn't actually stabilize, I mean, I guess you have to be stabilized for the most part, but it's a double bill. If I have a nosebleed, then you get to charge me for calling the ENT in another hospital and sending that person to the ENT. That doesn't even make sense. You shouldn't have an ER if you don't have everybody on staff to take care of the problem that could come through. That's how I see it, and that's how hospitals used to be. Now, because hospitals are all about the bottom line and making money, they have people taking call for free, which they can't afford to do anymore, so they stop doing it. And so now you have hospitals who just have family practice on staff, maybe an ER-trained doctor if you're lucky, and nobody else to refer to. So if you have a GYN emergency, a neurosurgical emergency, surgical emergency, ENT, there's nobody there. So all they're basically doing is keeping a hospital ER open to do cuts and bruises, maybe fix a bone, you know, put a cast on. But if anything else, you're hosed. And then you have to be transferred out. And, you know, is it really healthy to get in a life flight helicopter or an ambulance and travel for 20, 30 minutes to another hospital when you should be stable in the hospital that you're in? It just doesn't make any sense.
And it's not free.
It's not free. And to top it all off, people who are in these hospitals who do take calls are now on the hook, and they're the front line of anything that comes through. And I have to say, it puts people at risk of practicing outside of their scope of practice. That's the main problem with this whole system. So whoever's on call, let's say you have an eye doctor, and there's an eye emergency that comes through, but they really just do cataracts, or they do something that's outside their scope of practice, and there's a trauma eye emergency, but they don't do it, and that ends up in their ER, that patient may have a doctor who's never seen it, hasn't done it for his residency, and actually is the front line. If that makes sense to you, that's not good medicine. And I will never be a part of that kind of system. And I'm sure once doctors figure this out, they're going to leave these staffs if they can. And they're not going to want to do these procedures, or they're not going to want to take these transfers. And then you end up sending them out to bigger centers. I mean, this is just a bad situation. And the hospitals have been building out and making new physical plants and putting out all sorts of capital payouts, and they want their money back. They want their return. So they're all about, have everybody come. I don't care if they can pay. Shut up and just treat the patient, because we need to pay for our, you know, our new wing. That's their attitude. This is a bad system. The only way to win it is to stay out of it, and the other way to win it is to start speaking up. And doctors and patients. And until we band together and do this, we will be controlled and manipulated by the hospitals and the pharmaceutical industry and the medical insurance industry, and now, unfortunately, the government's piling in with Obamacare. It's a joke.
Let's take our last break, and we'll be back with Medicine on Call and Dr. Elena George right after this.
At Peachtree Ear, Nose, and Throat Center, they provide better quality care. They believe that excellent medical care is a right and not a privilege. They are concerned that the current economy has forced people to sacrifice their health. They have therefore reduced their prices to make it more affordable. They will continue to provide state-of-the-art care. They continue to believe that patient care counts above all else. Peachtree ENT Center, concierge medicine without the concierge price. Additional details are available at www.peachtreeentcenter.com. Call their office at 404-591-9100 to make an appointment or for more information. They are located in Atlanta at 1776 Peachtree Road Northwest, Suite 260 North Tower, 2 blocks south of Piedmont Hospital.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
This is Dr. Elena George with your health tip of the day. Did you know that snoring can lead to chronic health problems? Snoring can be a sign of sleep apnea. Snoring is simply noisy breathing that can disturb those around you. However, sleep apnea is a serious condition that leads to a decrease in oxygen in the blood. The brain and the heart are two organs that depend on oxygen to function well. Studies have shown that a lack of oxygen at night leads to weight gain, problems with memory and concentration, depression, high blood pressure, obesity, diabetes, and stroke. There are several ways to decrease snoring. For example, lose weight if you are overweight. Avoid alcohol at least 3 to 4 hours before bedtime. Stop smoking. Control nasal allergies to things such as dust and mold, and avoid eating dairy products such as milk and cheese. If you think you have sleep apnea, you should see a doctor to be evaluated. Please join me on Wednesdays at 9 a.m. for Medicine on Call. This is Dr. Elena George.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. In the break, Dave gave me a statistic, which I was kind of shocked at, that, what's it, right, Dave, 50% of people get their news from late-night shows?
Yeah, over 50%.
Oh, God.
Just, the Jon Stewart Show and, you know, all these different late-night shows. The Tonight Show is one of them. And they watch the monologue and figure, well, if a comedian's going to knock something, then that must be the news of the day.
Wow.
You're right. It's beyond incredible.
Bad. Well, I mean, maybe now it explains why people are so docile and just don't get it. But I think there's a growing number, and thank goodness, a growing number of people who are waking up and realizing something's not right. I mean, this, take this Ferguson situation, for example. You know, it's tragic. The whole thing is tragic because we're seeing the same thing play out in now a different state. It happened in Florida. It happened in New York. It's happening all over. And I'm not talking necessarily just about an unarmed person getting shot. I'm talking about what happens after it happens, the circus that descends upon that state or that city. the people who are bussed in, who are professional agitators who come in, who add nothing to the argument, who don't wait, who rush to judgment, and who literally stir up people to hurt themselves. I mean, I saw one graphic that I think sums up the tragedy of this whole thing. Some looter breaking into a sports store, and there's a sign on the window, now hiring. That was so tragic to me. So these people, or whoever did this, has now ruined the chance of someone who wanted to actually get a job and be a productive member of society. You had these havers come in and just destroy everything. For what? I mean, so that to me was the nutshell of this problem. It's never people doing something productive. It's taking away from people who are actually adding to the community. And then there was some Farrakhan rant about how it's the fault of, you know, foreigners coming in and running stores in my community that's taking the money out. Well, you know, you can start a business for yourself. Why does it have to be a negative? Why didn't he have something like, say, why don't you start your own business? Let's keep our economy local instead of being others doing it to you. It's that attitude of learned helplessness, never taking responsibility for yourself, always somebody else's problem that you can't get ahead. And I take issue with that. It's about personal responsibility and choices. Yes, the cops can do things that are completely inappropriate, illegal, unethical, immoral, but you don't have to, right? I mean, it's your choice to react to them or to give them what they want, which is for you to be a victim, or for you to take back your power and say, I'm not going to play this game. The best revenge is to succeed. If that means that you pull together your resources, you open something in your home and you sell out of your house to start off before you start your own business, then so be it. But once you have skin in the game and you stop having someone give you something, that's the first step towards empowerment. And that's how you not become a victim. If everybody thought that way, I don't think we'd be blaming each other and calling people names and being in a position where we're afraid that someone's going to take something from us. That's what they want. They want us to be at odds. They want us to see each other as the enemy. They want us to work against our own interests so that we can just let them control everything. That's a problem.
You know, I don't, and you know me as a very conservative person, but in this business, I go by the First Amendment, that everybody has a right. But in a protest, a march, I could care less about it. And they have every right to do it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a right to break my window. They don't have a right to steal my merchandise. At that point, it's not anything right about it. It's breaking the law. And I came out and had said regarding Ferguson, you know, if the police had just done their job and said, look, we got laws against people breaking windows and stealing stuff. You break a window, I'm going to put you in jail. And everybody that broke a window, they go to jail. And, you know, it would have eliminated a lot of problems. They wouldn't have had to bring out tear gas or anything else. They might have had to get a bigger jail or figure out a way to house a lot more people in a different manner. But if you're breaking the law, you're breaking the law. I don't care color, you know, anything. It doesn't matter. If you're breaking the law, you're breaking the law.
Just to cut you off for 1 second, but the way they deployed the police kind of assured this was going to happen. They didn't protect the store owners. They were at a distance, and they allowed this to happen. They stood down. And when that happened, then it got out of control. Then they started to, this is interesting, if you watch what happened on TV, it's completely different from people who were embedded from, you know, internet-based journalists who were actually on the ground. They told us what really went down. So initially, it was just people marching. And they're saying that they wanted to, you know, use their First Amendment rights. It was totally, you know, just reasonable. And then they started having people come in. And then the cops started to shoot people, do the tear gas, you know, shoot the rubber bullets. And then they started to aim at the media, because the media was actually reporting what was happening. And then they got the media back to where they were. And, I mean, it wasn't run the way that people said it was. And most of the people who actually live in for the city. Not the people who came in, but the ones who lived there were prisoners in their own homes. They couldn't go to work. They didn't feel comfortable. They didn't feel safe leaving their own homes. The store owners had to, who had guns, those are the ones that didn't get looted because they protected their own property, not the police. That's ridiculous. If I pay taxes, I expect the police to protect me. They didn't do that. And then they proceeded not to tell the truth or, you know, not tell the whole story in a timely fashion. A lot of things got out of control based on what outside influences, what the governor said, what, you know, the local state senator said. It was all to foment violence is what they wanted. And that's, if they didn't get what they wanted, thank God, because they really wanted to have a whole melee so they can come up with a police state. And I understand that the police are still there, and it's still a lockdown situation. It's just not on the news anymore. So there's really no reason for it. I wonder why that's still going on.
That's interesting. I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, they're still on the ground.
Well,
so interesting.
People have to ask. They have to go on the internet. They have to find out what's going on and find the truth, and then
exactly.
And then judge the situation on their own. Not take somebody else's word for it. Not take mainstream media's word for it by any stretch. But find out what's going on.
Well, if you want to see, just for my sake, you know, don't take my word for it either. Do your research. And I tweeted, if you follow me on Medicine on Call on Twitter, I've actually tweeted the article that I spoke about at the beginning with this MMR fraud issue. And if you go to naturalnews.com, there's plenty of information, or Mercola.com. I mean, this is not something that's in a vacuum. It's been out there forever. This is now the newest version, and it's a smoking gun. And anybody who's listening to my voice needs to pass this by Facebook, Twitter, to everybody that they know, because we're not going to get this information out if we expect the mainstream media to do it.
Dr. George, with that, we've got to get going. The hour has flown by, as always. I want to thank you for calling in and talking to us about the vaccination situation, and we will download this either today or tonight sometime, so it'll be available.
Well, thank you for listening, and thank you for listening to Medicine on Call.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.